Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is week 8, day 3 of the study of 1 Kings. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about 1 Kings 18, 1 through 15. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. On Wednesdays, we want to pray for America from 2 Chronicles 7:14, where the Bible says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, repent, and pray, then the Lord will turn from his plans and will heal our land." And so, Lord, we want to pray, God, that you would raise up a praying church in America, one that would repent, one that would turn the heart of this nation away from wickedness and toward you, God. Lord, would you move us in that direction? Would you heal our land? And Lord, we ask that you would open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. We'll be reading today from the NIV, starting in 1 Kings 18, verse 1. "After a long time, in the third year, the word of the Lord came to Elijah, 'Go and present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the land.' So Elijah went to present himself to Ahab." Now, one of the things that I like about this here is that when Elijah pronounced this drought to Ahab in the first place, he said, "It's not going to rain until I say it will." So is basically Elijah was pronouncing that the Lord has given me authority with my voice to end this drought. It will be my voice that will end this drought. And here Elijah, even though he has that authority to send rain or whatever he wants to do, he is still submitting himself to the will of God. He's still submitting himself to the plan of God. He isn't just taking it upon himself. He's waiting. He's waiting on the Lord to tell him what to do. This is very powerful because all too often, if the Lord gives us a little bit of authority, we want to take it and run way too far. When a lot of times the authority is something that he wants to give to us for shared purposes. Like he wants to partner with us. He doesn't want to just give it to us so we can run wild with us. He wants to partner with us. So he gives us gifts, not so that we can just take them and spend them on ourselves necessarily, but so that we can partner with him. He will give us all manner of gifts that we can use to partner with him, not to go spend on ourselves. And here Elijah is modeling that for us. He's been given possibly one of the most powerful gifts, if you want to call it that, the ability to hold back rain. I mean, this is powerful stuff here. And still, he's not just using it at his own whim, but he is partnering with God and how to use that. So he's waiting for God's voice, and God tells him now to go. "Now the famine was severe in Samaria, and Ahab had summoned Obadiah, his palace administrator. Obadiah was a devout believer in the Lord. While Jezebel was killing off the Lord's prophets, Obadiah had taken 100 prophets and hidden them in 2 caves, 50 in each, and had supplied them with food and water. Ahab had said to Obadiah, 'Go through the land to all the springs and valleys. Maybe we can find some grass to keep the horses and mules alive so we will not have to kill any of our animals.' So they divided the land they were to cover, Ahab going in one direction and Obadiah in another." So there's several things going on here. First, this is a different Obadiah than the Obadiah who wrote the book of Obadiah. The prophet who wrote the book of Obadiah came a few centuries later. But this Obadiah is still a devout believer in the Lord. And this is very interesting. A little background information it gives us on Obadiah is Jezebel was trying to kill off the Lord's prophets. So she is tired of hearing the voice of the Lord. And so she wants to kill them all off. And she's doing it. Jezebel actually went, she sought out the prophets of God, of the one true almighty God, and she started murdering them. And when Obadiah, who is part of the infrastructure of Ahab's kingdom, he's their palace administrator, he takes it upon himself. I mean, at great risk to himself, but he takes it upon himself to go and find as many of the prophets as he can and hide them from Jezebel, this woman he's serving. And so he does that. And he hides you know, a lot of them. I mean, 100 of these prophets. I mean, imagine how many she had already killed. You remember when Samuel came along, there were prophets, but there weren't many. And Samuel, remembering all the way back to the book of 1 Samuel that we started in the podcast a long time ago, Samuel started schools of prophets. He starts training these prophets in these different cities. And that is going to last even into this day. There are still lots of prophets of the one true God that have been trained under this system that Samuel had established. But Jezebel took it upon herself to end that system and to end all these prophets. And we know that she was at least somewhat successful before Obadiah found the last 100 and hid them in caves. But this is how desperate it is. Ahab is telling his palace administrator, you go one direction, I'll go the other, and we'll see if we just can't find some grass. If we can just find some green grass somewhere, we'll feed it to our horses so we don't have to kill them. I mean, you know, this is the kind of thing that Ahab should have been able to pawn off on somebody else, but he's having to do it himself. I'm sure they're taking a party of people, Obadiah, party people with him, and Ahab, a people with him, but this seems very much beneath a king. But this is something that Ahab is having to fully engage in because that's how desperate things are. Verse 7, as Obadiah was walking along, Elijah met him. Obadiah recognized him, bowed down to the ground, and said, is it really you, my Lord Elijah? Yes, he replied. Go tell your master, Elijah is here. Verse 9, what have I done wrong, asked Obadiah, that you are handing your servant over to Ahab to be put to death? As surely as the Lord your God lives, there is not a nation or kingdom where my master has not sent someone to look for you. And whenever a nation or kingdom claimed you were not there, he made them swear they could not find you. But now you tell me to go to my master and say, Elijah is here. I don't know where the Spirit of the Lord may carry you when I leave. If I go and tell Ahab and he doesn't find you, he will kill me. Yet I, your servant, have worshipped the Lord since my youth. Haven't you heard, my Lord, what I did while Jezebel was killing the prophets of the Lord? I hid 100 of the Lord's prophets in 2 caves, 50 in each, and supplied them with food and water. And now you tell me to go to my master and say, Elijah is here? He will kill me. So here we see what's been going on for the past several years while Elijah has disappeared. Is Ahab has been diligently searching for him everywhere he can, and he can't find him, and no one will turn over evidence on him. No one either knows where he is or no one wants to tell Ahab where he is. They don't want to tell Ahab that they know anything about where Elijah is. And so Ahab is beside himself with anger. He hates Elijah for all of this. And Ahab knows deep down in his heart that he is the reason for all of this, but he's blaming Elijah. I think deep down in his heart, he really hates Elijah at this point, and he's blaming him for all of the calamity that's befallen his kingdom and his own personal house. I mean, so that he's having to actually himself go out and find grass to feed to his mules and horses. And so Ahab is so angry that Obadiah rightly knows that if he goes and tells Ahab, hey, I found Elijah, and then he doesn't show up, Ahab's going to be like, why didn't you arrest him? Why didn't you cut off his legs for crying out loud and bring him to me? Why didn't you do something, Obadiah? You know, Obadiah has no interest in seeing Elijah die. And so it puts Obadiah in this really terrible place of saying, listen, you've been gone for 3 years. How do I know the Lord isn't going to hide you away? And Obadiah is saying here that he knows that it's the Lord who hid him away, because he's saying, Ahab has looked everywhere for you. So I know it's the Lord who hid you away. How do I know the Lord's not going to do that again? How do I know the Lord's not going to take you away from here and hide you supernaturally? Again, when I go and I talk to Ahab, he'll say, why didn't you bind him? Why didn't you arrest him? Why didn't you do something? And that's going to basically out Obadiah as siding with Elijah. I mean, it's going to come out. Ahab's going to start turning over stones and going to find out that there's these 100 prophets. So this is a really difficult situation he's been put in if Elijah doesn't show up. But we all know, and I hope all of us know this story. This is one of the most famous stories in the Bible. It's such a great story, what we're going to read tomorrow. But we know that Elijah is going to show up, and he's going to show up big. Verse 15, Elijah said, "As the Lord Almighty lives, whom I serve, I will surely present myself to Ahab today." And when he does, it's going to lead to one of the most cataclysmic and supernatural, awesome encounters in the Old Testament, probably second only to Moses and Pharaoh, their encounters, second only to Moses and Pharaoh in the level and the drama of the confrontation, as well as the supernatural nature of the confrontation. It's really a cool story. And it's one that, if you're not familiar with it, hang with me, because it is one of the best stories in the Old Testament of the Lord breaking in, because there's this element of you know, the Lord being the only one who can break in fire from the sky, God sending fire from heaven. You know, there's this victory over this false, wicked religion intentionally trying to lure people away from the Lord. There's this victory over Jezebel and Ahab. And in the midst of it, there's Elijah making fun of all these people in really fun ways. And so it's just got everything to tickle your fancy. I love the story that's coming tomorrow. So that's it for today. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I'm glad you joined me. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I'll be back tomorrow with another day of the 10-Week Bible Podcast.